These recordings of Rabbi Isaac Bernstein are provided courtesy of Congregation Ner Yisrael in London, where they were originally delivered.
Item that I wanted to draw your attention to this evening, the Or Gedaliah. Let me first of all read out the Midrash to which he refers. The Midrash is found at the very beginning of Parshas Miketz. And the Pasuk that is quoted is a Pasuk in Iyuv. Perek Kavches, Pasuk Gimel. The Pasuk reads, Ketz Som Lachoshech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had already designated when the end would come to the darkness. In what is this a reference? Says the Midrash, Zaman Nosan Li Yosef, Kamosh Shonim Yaseh Bo Afelo Veveso Asurim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had already ordained how many years Yosef would be in the darkness of prison. Kevon shehigia haketz, and as soon as the end of that period came, cholam paro chalom. Pharaoh had a dream. The Midrash therefore indicates that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has already ordained how long Yosef should be in prison, and when that moment comes, then Paro dreams. It is on this that the Or Gedaliah has a most profound observation to make. The Midrash, in the Midrash, Al Hakra on the Posuk, Vayehi Miketz Shenosayim Yomim, Mevi Hakra, the Midrash brings the Posuk, Ketz Som Lachoshech. Upirishu Kadmonim, and the earliest commentators of the Midrash explain, Ki kavonas hamedrish legalos lonu sivas chalom paro. The Medrash wants to reveal to us the cause of Pharaoh's dream. Ki ha'odom halomed ha'parsha. Because without the Midrash, if we would be learning Parshas Miketz, Choshe, we would be under the impression ki sivas geulas Yosef mehavor hu ha'chalom shel paro. You want to know why Yosef came to be released from prison? The answer is, we say, because Pharaoh had a dream, etc. Abol ha-medrish megalelonu. But the Medrash teaches us otherwise. That ki keitz som lachoshech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had already ordained how long Yosef would be in prison. Shemitechilas me'sar Yosef b'havor. Because at the very outset of Yosef being put into prison, Hoyoketz Lachoshech Hazeh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew how long he was to be there. For Hoyomitechilas Meserozem and Mesuyam Umugbol Sheyehye Yosef Bachoshech Hazeh. It was designated how long he should be there. Ukeshebo Hazman Shel Haketz Hazeh. And when the end of that period which had been previously ordained arrived, Oz then, Ufaro Cholem, Pharaoh dreams. Oz Sivev HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sibo Shel Chalom Paro. HaKadosh Baruch Hu then brought into being certain events which were to bring about the release of Yosef, which had already been ordained in heaven. Sheyal yedei zeh yotza Yosef min havor v'yavo keitz lehachosh. So it is, as they say in the Purim story, v'na'afochu. We would have thought that because Pharaoh dreamt, Yosef was released. Says the Medrash, because Yosef was to be released, Pharaoh dreamt. V'nireh, and it appears to me, says the Or Gedaliah, ki yesh lo zeh sheiches lechanukah. That this particular theme has a relevance to Hanukkah. Ukvar omru Chazal, because Chazal have already indicated in the words v'choshech al penei sehom, that choshech is a reference to Yavon, to Greece, shehechshichu einehem shel Yisrael, who darkened the eyes of Israel with their evil decrees. Ubo ha-medrish lomar, and the Medrash is coming to tell us further, Ki keitz som lachoshech, that even when the Greeks dominated our land, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had already ordained how long they should be there. שמתחילה הבריאו יוקץ לחושך הזה, עד איזה זמן ישלוט החושך על העולם ועל עם ישראל. So it was already ordained how long they should be there. And when the time came that their dominion should be finished, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, sends out messages to those who are receptive so that they should be aroused to bring about events which have already been ordained. V'chol ha-gevura shel ha-chashmonoim ho-yeso al-yedei his-olerus mi-le-malo. And the valor of the Chashmonoim was all because they had the sensitivity to respond to the emanations from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki ha-yeso oz his-olerus le-hosim keitz la-choshech hazeh v'ha-chashmonoim hirgishu. שהיו הזמן פקידו, ושהיו התאור מלמעלה. והם היו הכלים, so they became the vessels, the instruments, מוכנים לקבל את ההורה הזו של קץ סום לחושך. So therefore the Chashmonoim also have some echo of this particular midrash quoted at the beginning of Miketz, to the extent that there was choshech in the land of Israel as a result of the Yevonim, and like it was with the period in which Yosef was imprisoned, so it was with the period that the Greeks were to have dominion over our land. And when the end came for that period, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, quote unquote, inspired those on earth to bring about the events which would lead to the conclusion of their dominion in the land. Furthermore, ki anu yodim, and we know further, ki gam bagolus hazeh asher anu chayim bo hayom, that even in the long diaspora in which we find ourselves still today, hayu harbei zemanim shel pekida, there were many times when HaKadosh Baruch Hu had decided that the end had come, the end of our golus. But the decision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the end of our golus had arrived cannot remove free will. So all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do, as he did in the time of Pharaoh, and as he did in the time of the Chashmonoim, is to send out emanations from heaven that the sensitive amongst our people can discern. But if we remain insensitive to those emanations, then the end comes and the end goes. And that is why it is all well and good to say, Keitz Som Lachoshech. But had Pharaoh not got up the next morning and said, I've had a dream which troubles me, had the Chashmonoim not decided, Rabin v'yadmiyatim v'chulei v'chulei, then history would not be as we now recall it. So therefore there are two elements. There is the inspiration from above and the accomplishment from below. That is why, says the Or Gedalia, there have been many times when, as it were, Moshiach was destined to come, ordained to come. That is the moment. Ukamosha Motzina Baramban Vyodri Shonim, Shapirishua Samikrois Bidon Yel Albiya Samoshiach, Al Harbei Zamanim Shonim. Sukkim have been interpreted by the Ramban and other Rishonim as referring to specific periods in history when Keitz Som Lachoshech. But that's not the end of the story, that's only part. The Ho'inyun Hu, and the truth of the matter is, Shekol Hazmanim Ho'elu Ho'yu Zemanim Shel Pekid. Every one of those moments was a divinely ordained moment of redemption. Elo shelo hoyu hakelim hamuchonim lekabeles heholo mimorom. But unfortunately, those of us below were not sensitive to recognize that the moment is at hand, and without our contribution, without our valor, without our participation, the moment will come and the moment will go. Unfortunately, what the Or Gedalia was saying is, our history as a people in diaspora is a series of missed opportunities. For Hoyomailas Hador Shel HaChashmonoim, and the great quality of the Chashmonoim was Shahoyu Reuyim LeKabeles Hashpo. They had the intelligence, They had the sensitivity to receive those emanations from above, indicating that a special time was at hand, ulahotziyam min hakoach el hapoel, and to translate it from potential into reality. Indeed, I am in mind of the Rashi, vayered hoayit al hapigorim, vayashev osom avram. The pasuk says the vulture came down on the pieces, that is in the Brisbane Abisorim, vayashev osom avram. Now we have a grammatical problem here, because ayit is singular. Vayered hoayit al hapigorim, why vayashev osom avram? Says the Trumas Hadeshin, in a comment on Rashi, that since Rashi interprets the ayat as the Moshiach has come on a variety of occasions. And on each of those occasions, he has come, and because we have failed to respond to the moment, he has come and he has gone. So the Moshiach is a single individual, vayelet ho'ayat. But in reality, because he has come down on a variety of occasions, as the Or Gedaliah explains, as a result of which the plural is used, vayashev osom avram. So this, to my mind, is a most inspiring message. The moment comes, but we have to respond. Let me also draw your attention, before we move on, to a most fascinating comment. I cannot remember where I have seen it. Speaking about emanations from above and the response from people below. Somebody asked the Gera Rebbe Zatzal, how come that the first people who have returned to Eretz Yisrael at the turn of the century were the Chalutzim, workers in the soil, not traditional Jewish occupation, I have to say. But why is it? Why is it that those people returned? Not the shopkeepers, not the Talmidei Chachamim. And his response is, it's unbelievable. He said like this, if you look into the Gemara Shabbos, Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis, you will discover that in the absence of any other means, the shofar was sounded on Erev Shabbos to let people know that Shabbos was coming. It was sounded 6 times. Sheish tikios hayutokim bi Erev Shabbos. The first one was for Am Shebesodos, the people in the fields, because they're the people who need to come in from the longest distances and to make sure that they're home and prepared for Shabbos. Says the Gera Rebbe, this is an allusion to the Erev Shabbos, i.e. Ikvus the Mashiach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will sound the shofar 6 times. And the first shofar is for Am Shebesodos. And they are the people who will hear it. And they are the people who will come. So there are different sounds directed at different people. There are emanations from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there are people with the sensitivity to respond. Am Shebesodos is the first sound of the shofar. It is a most fascinating observation. Okay. Let us now move on and note that there are a number of dreams at the beginning of our parsha. The dream of the poros and the dream of the shibolim. And there is an interpretation which is offered by Yosef. And here I want to draw your attention to a very fascinating observation by the Meshech Chochmah. And we will discover a very unique approach to the dreams. We usually assume that the dreams are in fact a repetition, and they are saying the same thing twice. But as we shall see, Meshech Chochmah is of a different opinion. In the Psukim that he refers to, Perek Mem Aleph, Psukim Kav Vav and Kav Zayin, he says, Hadikdukim Geluyim. Right, there are various problems in the Psukim, but I'm not going to go into them at this moment, because they will become apparent and they will be resolved by the Meshech Chochmah's comments. Veho'inyan, I believe the matter is as follows, and with that we will be able to explain the diktukim. Ki ha'poros moros al hasova v'horov asher tihiyeno bi'eret mitzrayim.
The dream of the cows is pertaining to the years of plenty and years of famine as they apply to the land of Egypt. Vilochein, for which reason, Cholam, Pharaoh, dreams that the poros shemin hayaor, olos sheva poros, that the cows are coming out of the river, and vihine sheva poros olos achareim min hayaor, and the other poros are also coming out of the river. Why? Because I suggest that the poros are an allusion to what's going to happen to Mitzrayim. And you know that the success of agriculture in Mitzrayim depends not on rainfall, but exclusively on the Nile. Shehatzlochas hamedino tolui b'meimei hayaor im hu'ole v'shotef al kol gedosov. If it goes and overflows its banks, there's plenty of water, plenty of fertility. So the Poro stream has to do with Mitzrayim. V'hashiboli moros al hatova v'horov v'chol ho'arotzos hasamuchos. And the dream of the Shibolim, the fat ears and the thin ears, is a reference to the plenty and the famine in all other lands. And all other lands are not dependent on a river. But in regard to them, the prophet says, Limitar hashomayim yishtumoyim. They depend on the rainfall. Now, accepting that, we will be able to understand. Velochein ba'poros, in regards to the poros, it is written that the seven thin cows, batamodno eitzel ha'poros, they stood next to the seven fat cows. Doesn't say that by the Shibolim, that the seven thin ears stood next to the seven fat ears. Why does it only say it in regard to the poros? He says, I'll tell you why. First of all, he says, al pi marsha b'yarti liel. It's a comment which we brought last year, namely, that the standing side by side of the fat cows and the lean cows is an indication that during the years of plenty, we have to be mindful of the years of famine. They have to stand side by side in our perspective. Namely, we have to gather in from the plentiful years in order to store up for the years of famine. Now that is something which didn't happen anywhere else except Mitzrayim. That's why they all ended up coming to Mitzrayim, because they also had plenty. But the plenty which they have, they didn't store up. So therefore, when you speak about the poros standing next to each other, that's only by the poros, not by the shibolim, because in reality, it only happened in Mitzrayim that the years of plenty became an opportunity to store up for the years of famine. Avol b'shibolim, but in regards to the sheaves, halo b'shar arotzos lo hichinu. Either they didn't prepare in the years of plenty, or hawayonir keves kemoshi omru chazal. Or it could very well be that they did, but for some reason or another it wasn't preserved. Therefore, by the Shibolim, it doesn't say Vatam Odna, because they didn't, in fact, make the appropriate preparations for years of famine. That's number one. Now he says as follows. Recognizing that the Poro's dreams refers to Mitzrayim, and recognizing that the Shibolim dream refers to all other lands, do we not know that even though the years of plenty applied equally to Egypt and all other lands, the years of famine did not apply to Mitzrayim the same as they did to all the other lands? Because as soon as Yaakov arrived in Mitzrayim, after 2 years of famine had elapsed, the famine in Mitzrayim ceased, but it still continued in all other countries. So therefore, v'hine b'Mitzrayim lo hoyu sheva shenei ro'ov. And it's well known that in Mitzrayim there were no years, 7 years of famine. Ki biyod hoyo Yaakov, because as soon as Yaakov came, posa korov v'Eretz Mitzrayim, the famine ceased in Eretz Mitzrayim. Uliyacham isoso, and what happened after his death is not germane at the moment. Avol b'sha'ar arotzos hoyo ro'ov kol sheva hashonim. But as far as the other lands were concerned, there was famine for an entire period of 7 years. So therefore, in regards to equating the seven fat cows and the seven fat ears of corn, which speak about plenty, Concerning those two aspects, Yosef made the observation, Chalom Echad Hu. They're both saying the same thing. What does it mean? Says the Meshech Chochm, it means that the plenty that will be in Mitzrayim will be plenty in all other countries. There's no difference between them. However, v'sheva hashibolim horekos, but in regards to the seven thin ears, concerning them and them alone, it says, yihiyu sheva shenei ra'ah. Whereas in regards to the sheva haporos hadakos, in regards to the seven lean cows, which according to our understanding is speaking about the famine in Mitzrayim, all it says is, sheva shonim heino. They represent 7 years, but not 7 years of famine. Because in reality, they were not 7 years of famine. It was what was supposed to have happened had not Yaakov come, but it couldn't say that they are in fact sheva shenera of by the poros, by the thin cows, because in reality they are not. So that is why, in regards to the seven fat cows and seven fat ears of corn, we can say chalom echotu, because in reality what happened in Mitzrayim happened all over that part of the world. But in regards to the seven thin cows and seven thin ears, there is a different connotation altogether. The seven thin cows refer only to 7 years, but the seven thin ears of corn refer to 7 years of famine, because all other countries apart from Mitzrayim indeed had 7 years of famine. So as I say, that's a novel slant on the dreams. What I want to do now is to move on to what I consider our most fascinating insights in the entire story. As you know, as soon as Yosef interprets the dreams correctly, the dreams are, in the way they are interpreted, they are accepted by Paro, and Paro elevates him to high office. But then, not only does Pharaoh elevate him to high office, but Pharaoh goes into the shidduch business, which I can tell you is a very dangerous business. The rabbis who have officiated at chuppahs in America where the marriage hasn't worked out have been sued for malpractice, you should know. Okay. Let's have a look. All of a sudden, the pasuk tells us that Paro gave Yosef Osnas Bas Potiphera. Now, I've taken two sections from the Osnaim Latera, from the Lutzkerov, one of them which follows directly on the other, which is not my usual custom, but both of them are most insightful, and I would suggest the second one you may find even topical. Okay. Let's have a look. Vayitein lo es osnas bas potifera. So the Osnaim Latera asks, Lomo shideich lo paro isha. Haim ze inyan la melech. What's he doing getting him a wife? That's a king's business. The yesh lomar boze gimel tamim. I want to give three reasons why he did so and why he particularly chose Osnas bas potifera. Number one, choshash paro. Let's have a look at the situation. Potiphar had Yosef thrown into a dungeon. Unbeknownst to Potiphar as yet, Yosef not only has got out, but he happens to be elevated to second to the Pharaoh. Is Choshash Paro, Pharaoh was suspected, he was fearful, Shemo Yimtzoenu Potiphar le Yosef Bashuk, V'yomar Avdi Ata. He was afraid Potiphar might meet Yosef. Oh, you're my slave. Like Mordechai said to Haman many years later. But after he has given Yosef the wife, the daughter of Potiphar, Yisaper Potiphar Bishvacho, it used to be my slave, my manager the slave. Now it's my son-in-law the prime minister. Right? Is Yisaper Potiphar Bishvacho, once he's married to Potiphar's daughter, he will go around telling everybody what a wonderful fellow he is, and will suggest Shahamidyonim Gonvu also, that the Midianites actually stole him. For the Hoyo Evid Meyolim, he was never a slave in the first place. It was all a big mistake. So it was, to put it in our modern parlance, a political move. Number two, Hashidu Chazeh, this type of union, sosam esp mosdoros balavono. I don't know whether you know this particular phrase. This is going to close the mouths of those who spin yarn by the moon. That's where we get the expression spinning yarns. We're talking about, you should excuse it, women who are spinning yarns and at the same time are spinning yarns. Right? So this will stop the mouths of all those who want to gossip. Shehefitzu alilas eshes Potiphar al Yosef. Because everybody knows about Potiphar's wife. There are people who know it even before it happens. Right? And everybody knows what the rumors were. But now that he is marrying Potiphar's daughter, Kimeato Yiru Hakol, now everybody will be forced to admit she Potiphar biyatsmo enamam in biyadilazu. That Potiphar himself gives no credence to these rumors. Ki lulezos, because had he given credence to them, lo hoyo nosin lo esbitulish, he would never have allowed his daughter to marry Yosef, kedesh lo yiskarevu shenis ishlo imayefe toarazeh. So that this particular gentleman, who he needs like a hole in the head if the rumors are true, what does he want him in the family for? So the fact that he is giving him his daughter will obviously confirm that the rumors have no basis. And indeed, this will correspond to a statement in Chazal, where Chazal tells us, Hanitan al Hoisha, lo yiso espito, a man who is suspected of having an affair with a woman is not allowed to marry the daughter. Because that raises problems and temptations, and in case they are true, we want to keep away from it. And this, even though it is a halacha, you might say it's got nothing at all to do with Egyptian law, says the Yoznaim Rateira of a Miskabel al Adas, it's a law that makes sense no matter where you are. V'yefshel akayim o misvora, and it's a logic, nothing to do with a posuk. That's the second reason why he gave him a daughter of Potiphar. And number three, Ish Nochri, if you have a person who comes from outside the country, Kiyim Loch, and he becomes a person in power, Einenu Miskabel al Rov Hawam. It's a type of person who will never become accepted by the majority of the people. The Omrim Lo, and they will say, like the people of Saddam said to Lot, Ho Echod Bolo Guva Yishbot Shofot, there's a stranger here, we can't find our own prime minister. Lochain Hishtadel Paro. Therefore, Paro was anxious. Shechofetz betovas arzo betovas Yosef. He was anxious for the welfare of his country, and he was anxious that Yosef succeed. It was most important before he assumed office. Sheyisa isha mibnei Sawaret, that he marry what they used to call a local lass. Veyihye al yedei zeh kamo ezrach b'medina, and he will become, as it were, a citizen of the country. He's married amongst us. Ulefikoch nismach leshiduch hazeh, and therefore straight after it mentions the fact that Paro gave Osnas bas Potiphera to Yosef, it says immediately, Vayetze Yosef al Eretz Mitzrayim. Yosef then had the ability to go out and to have his voice heard in the entire land. Sheyachar shehishtadech im bas Potiphera yotzo limloch al Mitzrayim. And for all of these reasons, they are all cogent, and all relevant, for all of these reasons, Paro decided to intervene and to suggest this particular match. Now, the next section of the Yoznayim Latura, I consider to be most profound. And again, I don't want to say anything more than some of you may consider it to have relevance for events other than Parshas Miketz. Ofnas bas Potiphera. That this is the particular lady whom Yosef married. Now, who is she? She is Bas Potiphar Vizulika. Right? That's Potiphar's wife, Zulika. Okay? Now, V'yesh mechazal, follow carefully. There are some of Chazal, Shedorashu, who explain, Shekavora Zulika hoyaso l'shem shamayim. That when Zulika wanted to seduce Yosef at Tzadik, that her motives were l'shem shamayim. Wonderful words. L'shem shamayim, right? L'hamid zera mi Yosef. She wanted to have a child from Yosef. Why? Kamosha ro'aso v'itzdagninus. Because she saw in the stars, and the stars did not lie, she saw in her constellation that there was to be a union between Yosef and her family. She thought it was going to be a union between Yosef and herself. But in reality, Mashin Iskayem Bebito, it was in fact a reference to her daughter. But what she did, says Chazal, is L'shem Shamayim. Right. Now, says the Odnaim Taylor, my son, Rebbe Eliezer, in Tells in Cleveland, he asked the following kasha. Hallo gam Tomor Otto Shaloka Hugan. Tomor also was involved in an activity which is far from, as we would call it, acceptable. Eloshen is Kavanah L'shem Shamayim, but she also has a Kavanah L'shem Shamayim, and Rashi says it explicitly in Parshas Vayeshev. She wanted a child from Yehuda because she knew Yehuda was Malchus. So she went out of her way to make sure that it would occur. V'yotza o mimena Malchus based on it. And she had a Zechus. Not only is she not condemned, she is the ancestress of Malchus. She's the ancestress of Mashiach. Ushema nishar l'shem ul'sihil of Yisrael. And her name is revered, praised in Israel. Vizulika, what is Mitzulika? Shegam hi niskavna l'shem shamayim. She also was miskavna l'shem shamayim. Nishar shema l'dar onolam. She is left with her reputation sullied. She's an outcast as far as we're concerned. She has no redeeming features. Tomor, Imo shel Malchus. Zulike, as they say in the classics, Gornish Megornish. Right? Bechima ben zu lezu. Both of them have involved themselves in unacceptable activities. Both of them are claiming that they're doing it l'shem shamayim. One is condemned and the other is elevated. The Oma Bozer Rayon Yofte. My son gave an answer, and it is a perfect answer. Sheyesh harbei anoshim. Follow carefully, Rabosa. There are many people, sheyosim masim chuorim, who do all sorts of terrible things. Velo rak omrim, and not only do they say, Elishem aminim b'yatzman, but they actually believe it themselves. Sheyosim zel Hashem Shammai. What do you, Hashem Shammai? V'eich neidaha esadovot. What's the acid test? How do you find out if somebody is doing what appears to us to be a most obnoxious, whether they're doing it l'shem shamayim or not? And after being it l'shem shamayim, uvameh yivchon ho'odom es atzmo b'shas ches ben anevish. How does a person know when he looks at himself or herself in a mirror? How do they know that what they're doing is l'shem shamayim? Or not just in order to satisfy some egoistic impulse? So how do you know? What's the litmus test? Or the biblical equivalent? The answer is, she alein ole hispone. You know how we know? Eich he give es hamichsholim. How do they respond to obstacles that present themselves in their path? Shepogash al derech mipuk pekes. What happens if a person is doing something which is questionable from the point of view of moral or ethical principle and insists that he's doing it l'shem shamayim, and all of a sudden obstacles present themselves which seem to prevent that person from carrying through what he wants? Imomar, if the person presented with these obstacles says, "Bahadakav shidarachmona lomali, why do I need to meddle in heaven's secrets? It's quite obvious. Heaven doesn't want me to proceed further." And if I find so many obstacles in my way, is mistoma ema sairet suyim v'yena Hashem? Most probably because God doesn't want what I'm doing. If a person is able to stand in the face of an obstacle and say, "I thought I was doing what I'm doing l'shem shamayim, but it's obvious Shamayim is not interested in what I'm doing," and he backs down, is simon shekavonoso hayasabiyem as l'shem shamayim. That's a simon that he started out l'shem shamayim and would have continued, but now he knows shamayim doesn't want it, so he backs down. V'chein osa sa tomor. That's what Tomor did. She wanted children from Yehuda. Uvishor showed to you the historic, and when they took her out to be burnt, you can't have a bigger obstacle than that. She said to herself, "Oh no, heaven doesn't want what I'm doing. So therefore, I have to put it in a very oblique way.
And when they took her out, Osav Yeshata Omim Shebebitna Omrosh, you know what she said? Mutav She Esoreif Mekiv Shanoesh below Albin Bnei Yehuda Baravim. It's better I should die than shame Yehuda. That's a person who's doing it L'Shem Shemayim. Ani Yosisi Eschali, Tomor says, I've done my bit. I did it L'Shem Shemayim. Kedei Lahamid Zeremi Mishpachim Yuchesezu. In order to have children from this wonderful family, the Imin Ashamayim Yakvim, and if they are preventing me from following it through and seeing it to its completion, is the Shemamin Oshid Dirochai Lo Yotra Vienna Yashem. It's a sign HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not happy with my activities or whatever it is, with my intentions, and therefore it's all cancelled, and I back down and I'm willing to face the rejection of my efforts. Ulefiko Chichlitu Hakol. And when everybody saw that that's what she did, and it became obvious that it was Yehuda, etc., etc., and people could see the nobility of her approach, they all decided, she'osaso ma she'osaso l'shem shamayim, that she had done what she had done l'shem shamayim, v'lo lahanoas atmo, and not for personal aggrandizement. As they say in English examination questions, compare and contrast. Aval haholeich v'derech lo derech, for a person who goes on a path which is no path, Vitan of the thief and maintains Shehu Mechavan L'Shem Shemayim. I'm doing whatever I'm doing L'Shem Shemayim. Ukeshepogach Mechsholim Al Darko. And when he faces an obstacle presents itself. Hu Osin Avolos Gedolos. He does all sorts of roguery. Kedei Lahasirom. In order to remove the obstacles. Zuch Oshi is a sign. Ki Reishis Machshav Tu Hoyasol Hanoas Atma V'lo L'Shem Shemayim. That he started out not L'Shem Shemayim, but in order to fulfill some personal motives. The chain on a row and and that's what we see with Zemeke. He published on Michsholim al Aderech. She wanted a child from Yosef. She was convinced it's in the stars. But all of a sudden an obstacle presented itself. A big obstacle. He wasn't interested. Right? Al Aderech Shabokhro Lelechit Bola Shem Shaman. Yosef Mimayin. Yosef is objecting. V'yeno Shamea Aleha. Doesn't want it. Oh, you're mechaven l'shem shemayim. He doesn't want it. So as they say in the classics, nisht is nisht. Leave it alone. What did she do? Hotzi odiva nimvizo alish sadik v'noki. She put out all sorts of scurrilous rumors about him. U'mosra otzola bala sara tabochim. And she gave him over unhesitatingly to her husband, sara tabochim, horogel b'shvichas domim, who is accustomed to murder, because he was nearly killed. And the response of Zuleika to obstacles, Mare indicates that her prime motive was not L'Shem Shemayim, but in order to satisfy her own desires. And her name is left L'Daron Olam as something to be ridiculed for eternity. And with this particular mido, in this acid test, Aleinu limdod eskol adam, we have to measure every person hamisnasei lemor who elevates himself to suggest kavonosi l'shem shamayim. It's a masterful lesson, something well worth thinking about. And as I say, it's a matter that one can deliberate on and cogitate on for some time. I want to move on now to a particular theme in regards to Perush Rashi al HaTorah. And we shall see that it is quite an extraordinary insight into the way various Meforashim approach Rashi's commentary al HaTorah. I refer you to Perik Membeis Posuk Beis. Perik Membeis Posuk Beis. There is famine in the land. Vayomer, and Yaakov says, Hine shomati ki yesh shever b'mitzrayim. I have heard that there is food in Egypt. Redu shomo, go down there. Vishivru lono misham, and obtain supplies for us from there. V'nichye v'lono musa, that we may live and not die. Redu shomo. Rashi. Says Rashi, V'lo omar lechu. Yaakov didn't say, Lechu, he says, Redu. Why? Says Rashi, Remez, it is an allusion, Lemosayim v'eter shonim shenishtabdu lemitzrayim Kemenyan Redu. It's an allusion to the 210 years that they were enslaved in Mitzrayim, which is the gematria, the numerical value of Redu. Resh is 200, Dalet is 4, Vav is 6, 210. So why did he say Redu? Says Rashi, an allusion to the 210 years. I refer you now to a perush which we have not come across very often, the Beis Yitzchok. And as you will see, it is a major insight into Rashi, because we shall see that the Gurariyeh has an entirely different approach. Says the Beis Yitzchok, Kosav Horeim Zal, the El Rebbe Leo Mizrahi writes, V'zeh Leshono, and this is the Mizrahi's comment, Lo Shamati Perusho. I don't understand what Rashi's talking about. Rashi has a Shaila? Why does it say Redu and not Lechu? Doctor, what's the kasha? Ki ha-holeich li-eretz mitzayim, me-eretz kenoan, yi-korei yoreid. A person who leaves Eretz Yisrael and goes to somewhere in Chutz La'aretz is called a yoreid. Mipenesha Eretz Yisrael govoa mikolo arotzos. Because Eretz Yisrael, according to tradition, is the highest point in the world. You go to Eretz Yisrael from Chutz La'aretz, it's known as Aliyah. So of course he said Redu. What's Rashi's problem? And further, says the Mizrahi V'yod, Gabei v'yeledu ache Yosef dichsiv v'afrein. A few minutes later, a few psukim later, as they prepare to go, it says v'yeledu ache Yosef. The brothers of Yosef go down. V'lo kisiv v'yelechu. And doesn't say v'yelechu. It's v'yikul abeimah. Rashi says nothing. So what is going on? What's Rashi's kasha? No kasha whatsoever, says the Mizrahi. You know why he said Redu? Because somebody who leaves Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz La'aretz, it's called a Yoreid. Says the Beis Yitzchok. Be'er Yitzchok, it should be. Confused Rabbi Yitzchok, Shmelech is the Cuban. Be'er Yitzchok. Says the Be'er Yitzchok. Uledidi lo kasha mida. There's no kasha. Why? Shezeh hadrash hu midrashas dorashay reshimos. It's a drosha. It's an ornamentation. It's not a problem in pshat. It's a nice homiletic. It's a beautiful theme that already in Yaakov's words there is the inspired association with 210 years in Mitzrayim. It's not a problem in pshat at all. Ukevar biyarti b'mokam acher. And I've already explained it elsewhere. Sheheim lo yotziu d'roshosom mikoach hechre haksuvim. That when Chazal made these type of droshes, they didn't make the droshes based on problems in the pasuk. Oh, mi yisu loshem, or from the fact that it's a superfluous word, or phrase, or letter. Raksha megalim rimzei hamikra. All Chazal wanted to do was, as part of the ornamentation, they wanted to show how there are allusions in the text. V'yeich nir mozim hama'oro shebiyotzid v'sipo mi'oro so'ovrim. And they wanted to show how future events are already alluded to in past events. But not that there's a problem in the pshat. There's no problem. Rashi is not presenting it as a problem in pshat. Rashi is presenting it as a nice homiletic. V'yotziu gam ze gam ayedei hanotarikon v'roshik tzuvitevos. Etc. Mizulas shum hechre loze, without having any particular problem in the pasuk on which to base their observation. Shemarim me chokmas rimze haktuvi. Ah, you'll say to me, says the Be'er Yitzchok, so why did Rashi say below Omar lechu, and Yaakov didn't say to them lechu? So seemingly Rashi has a problem. No. Ritzona lomar, im lo hoya omer redu, rak lechu, lo hoya ze merumas v'mikra, udrosh ozu huk, etc. Zokta Be'er Yitzchok. No, what Rashi's saying is, if it would have said lechu, I'm just telling you, we wouldn't have had the remez here. That's all. Nothing more. We'd have to look for another remez. Or we have the remez. You don't have a remez, not the end of the world. But the fact that it says redu gives us an opportunity to suggest that there is a remez in that particular word to future events. Haklal? According to the Be'er Yitzchak, his interpretation of Rashi is that Rashi has absolutely no problem in the pshat of this pasuk. And the Mizrahi says, of course there's no problem. Because later on it says, Vayera du'ache Yosef. The brothers went down. And Rashi says nothing there. You know why? Because a person who leaves Eretz Yisrael to go to his Eretz is going down. Now that's the Be'er Yitzchak, and I must tell you that that is a Mizrahi's comment at the beginning of Lech Lecha on the words Lehanoscha Letevoscha. Where the Mizrahi says the words Lehanoscha Letevoscha is not that Rashi had a problem in the words Lech Lecha, because he brings many examples where the verb is followed by Lecha or Lechem, Ivru Lechem, etc., etc. Ha-geshem cholaf ovalo. And this is the Be'er Yitzchak's interpretation of them. Again, I emphasize. Where Yitzchak says there is no problem in pshat in this pasuk, and this remez is something that Chazal are putting into our minds, and Yaakov never had any intention when he said it at all. Look at the Gurari. And you'll understand what I mean when Rashi is a study for a lifetime and more. Says Rashi, V'lo amar lechu, and he did not say lechu. Why? What's the problem? Ki hoya ra'ui litpos l'shon tov. Yaakov is a tzaddik. Yaakov should not speak to his sons and say, go down. That's not a nice way to speak. Redu is miloshin yerida. The eino dibur tzach v'tov. It's not a nice expression for a tzaddik to use. It's a loshin hamora al yerida. The Yomru Chazal and our rabbis have told us, Pesach Devorecha Yoir. When a tzaddik opens his mouth, it should be to bring forth light. Beautiful expression. Redu? Pasach Nishva Yaakov. Says the Maharal. The Yaf Al Gav Shemishahu Holech Me Yeretz Yisrael Mitzrayim Yoreid. The Yeretz Yisrael Govo Amikolo Arotzos. Ah, you'll say to me, as the Mizrahi does, but what do you mean? A person who goes from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz goes down. Afilo hochi lo have lei lemei makach. Achashehu loshen yeridah. You're perfectly right. It is a fact. But it's still not appropriate for Yaakov Avinu to say to his sons, redu go down. Ah, you'll say to me, it says in a few psukim afterwards, Vayeredu achei Yosef. Says the Maharal, lo kosh. That's not a problem. Ki hu loshen hakosel. Please, says the Maharal, distinguish between when the Torah is speaking and when people are being quoted by the Torah. The Torah says, Vayeredu, because the Torah is totally objective and the reality is that a person who leaves Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz La'aretz goes down. Lo kosher ki hu loshen hakosel. V'dafka hamedaber lo yomar redu. But a person who is speaking should not say redu. Mipnei shehu loshen kalola elamet. So therefore the Maharal says, excuse me, Rashi has a problem in the pasuk. V'lo omar lechu. He did not say lechu. Vosepis, a tzaddik like Yaakov Avinu uses an expression, redu. Don't tell me that he said redu because Eretz Yisrael is Govoyim Mikolo Arotzos. Because the reality is it is still inappropriate for a person of the integrity and sitches of Yaakov Avinu to address his sons with the word redu. And therefore I want to know, why did he say redu? There has to be a reason. The answer is that Yaakov Avinu himself, by the choice of that word, was alluding to the 210 years that they were going to spend in Mitzrayim. So whereas the Be'er Yitzchak is telling us how clever Chazal are in finding an allusion in the word redu, the Guraye says Chazal are not finding any allusion in the word redu. Yaakov Avinu is alluding in the word redu, because when a tzaddik is speaking, as opposed to when the Torah is speaking, when a tzaddik is being quoted, a tzaddik should not say the word redu.
And my friends, let me refer you to Perek Mem Hei, Posuk Kaf Ches. Not quoted by the Maharal. The brothers come back and they say to Yaakov Avinu, your son Yosef is in Mitzrayim and he's alive. Vayomer Yisroel Rav Od Yosef Ben Ichai. Eilecha V'yerenu V'terem Amon. Eilecha V'yerenu. Not Eireda V'yerenu. Eilecha V'yerenu. Because the only time he used the do was for an allusion. And when he's not alluding, a tzaddik doesn't use the word. A gewaltige raya for the Maharal. Eilecha V'yerenu V'terem Amon. Let us now come to a particularly fascinating part of the Yosef story, and that is in Perek Mem Beis, Posuk Lamed Zayin. The Siddur is just, it is just mind-boggling what there is in this Siddur, as you know. Yosef has sent a message, if you don't bring Binyamin, I don't want to see you. So, times are getting a little difficult. Yaakov says, you can't have Binyamin. Vayomer Reuven el Aviv lemor, and Reuven says to his father, saying, Es shenei bonai tomis im lo avienu elach. You can kill my two sons if I don't bring them back. Can you ever hear that? Es shenei bonai tomis im lo avienu elach. If I don't bring Binyamin back to you, you can kill my two sons. Tano also al yodiv ani yashivinu elach. What are you doing it? Well, what sort of a suggestion is it? There is a famous responsum of the Chassam Sofer. It's an Orach Chaim in Simon Reish Ches. The responsum is famous. I mean, all the responsum of the Chassam Sofer are famous. But this is a particularly famous responsum because it was addressed to the Maharitz Chayes, the Tzviyish Chayes, who had written the Torah Sanavim, and he sent the he sent the Sefer as a present to the Chassam Sofer, and of course inviting his comment. And the Chassam Sofer pulls the Sefer to pieces. And the truth of the matter is, he even pulls the Hakdamah to pieces. And he says, because in the Hakdamah, Rav Tzviyish Chayes says that I hope whatever I have to say will find favor in the eyes of my readers. And the Chassam Sofer, as I recall, refers him to a Gemara at the end of Beitzah, where the Gemara says there about a certain rabbi before he traveled from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, he offered a prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yehei Rabbah, the aim of Milsu the Miskabel, may it be your will that whatever I say will be accepted by the scholars. He came to Eretz Yisrael, they were studying a certain sukkah, and he said something, he offered his contribution, and they laughed at him. So he thought maybe they didn't understand him properly, so he went over it in different words, they laughed at him again. Achichu Ali. Says the Chassam Sofer, well, the man is only trying to be helpful. What are they laughing at him for? He says, because he may offer the prayer, Yehei Rabbah, the Emel to the Miskabel. He offered a prayer that whatever I say may be accepted. That's not a prayer. The appropriate prayer is, whatever I say should be the truth. The fact that it may be accepted or not accepted is totally incidental. That's not a tefillah, Yehei Rabbah, the Emel to the Miskabel. But anyway, one of the points which Rav Tzviyish Chayes raised was the question of Es Shenei Bonai Tomis. My two sons you can kill if I don't bring them back. Says the Chassam Sofer, "V'hakushya me Reuven, kushya atzumahi." The question that you have raised from Reuven, as Shnei Bonai Tomis, is a kushya atzuma. It is a powerful question. The Ancient Mishpat Melech. It refers to an earlier paragraph where he suggests that certain things are going to be done through the Din of Melech, who has the ability to invoke all sorts of things to defend his own personal power, etc. But whatever it is, it's not appropriate here. Avol ani rogil lomar. I interpret these words, lefi diyomrilim perek yesh nochlim, based on an interpretation in Baba Basra on the posuk of Kalev ben Yefune v'Yehoshua bin Nun choyu min ho anoshim. The 10 other spies are killed, but Kalev ben Yefune and Yehoshua bin Nun, it says of them in the Pasuk in Shelach, Choyu, they lived. And what do Chazal say? It refers to the fact, Shenotlu Yehoshua bin Nun, the Kalev, chelkom shel meraglim be'yeret Yisrael. It means that the portions in Eretz Yisrael which should have gone to the meraglim went to Yehoshua ben Nun and Kalev. That's what the Gemara says. So if the word chayim can mean taking an extra portion in Eretz Yisrael, by the same token, says the Chasam Sofer, misa can refer to getting less of a portion in Eretz Yisrael. If chayim means more, misa means less. V'zeh yechune choyu. And taking an extra portion in Eretz Yisrael, seemingly according to Chazal, is a valid interpretation of the word choyu. They live. Nimsa, a consequence of this is, misha mafsid chelik v'yeretz Yisrael, nikro misa, ki yediz ha'afokhem echa. So therefore, by contrast, the person who had a chelik taken away from him is called misa. Reuven dima benafsho. Reuven at this moment imagines shehu ha'bechor, that he is the bechor. Ushenei bonav yitnlu beis chalokim. And he is of the opinion that as the bechor, his two sons will each have a portion in Eretz Yisrael. He doesn't know that Yaakov had originally intended to do so with Yosef, Ephraim and Manasseh. So Reuven is in fact saying, Eschenei bonai tomis. What does that mean? Titol mehem chelkom be'eretz Yisrael. I am willing to forfeit their chelek in Eretz Yisrael. V'zeh ra'ui li'omero. And that is a pshat worthy of being said. So if you know, says the Chasam Sofer, Eschenei bonai tomis, what's the interpretation? The answer is, you can take away their portions in Eretz Yisrael if I don't bring Binyamin back. Okay. Let me just conclude with a topical observation in regards to Hanukkah, which I didn't have an opportunity to put into the sheet, but nevertheless, it is a simple matter, and I think it is emes. As you know, the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah is not involved in history. Whatever he tells us in Mishnah Torah has halachic consequences. Everything. Let me read to you the opening halacha, Perek Gimel, halacha Aleph of Hilchas Chanukah in the Rambam. Babayis Sheni, during the Second Temple, Kishemalachu Yavon Gozru Gezeros al Yisrael, when the Greeks made decrees on Israel, who botlu dosom, and wanted to cancel out their religion, velohinichu osom lasuk, batorah v'mitzvos, didn't want to let them study Torah or keep mitzvos, who postu yodom v'momoyim, uvevonoseyem, and they put out their hands against their property, against their daughters, v'nichnesu lahechol, they went into the temple, who polotsu bo protzos, v'timu hataros, v'tzar lahem li Yisrael miyoid mipeneihem, ulechotsum lachatz godl, they caused them terrible trouble, Ad Sherichem Alehem Elokei Avoseinu Vehoshiyam Miyadam Vehitzilam, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Rachmonos and saved them, Vegomru Bnei Chashmonoi HaKohanim HaGedolim Vaharogum Vehoshiyu Yisrael Miyadam. Wonderful. And it's all in the Yalanisim. It's all there. The terrible troubles. Baruch Hashem says the Rambam. V'hemidu melech min ha-koyhanim, and they appointed a king from the koyhanim. V'chosro malchus li-Yisrael yeser al-mosayim shonim ad achur ben ha-shein. And there was a Jewish king for 210 years. Mazel tov. What's that got to do with Hanukkah? We celebrate the miracle of the oil. We celebrate the miracle of the victory over the Greeks, according to the Pri Chodosh. In fact, the first day Hanukkah is a celebration of the military victory. The other seven are the nays of the Shemit. Did you find anywhere that there is a celebration of Hanukkah because they restored, quote-unquote, Jewish sovereignty? And the Rambam puts it down here. Chapelet Limus. What is the Rambam mentioning the fact that we had a Jewish king for 210? What did that mean until we had a Jewish king at all? Mangeshem. When you light the menorah, you start thinking about Jewish kings. The answer is quite interesting. There is a question raised in the Gemara Megillah. The Gemara asks,
Why do we say Hallel on Hanukkah? Why don't we say Hallel on Purim? Not why do we say Hallel on Hanukkah, sorry. The cash of the Gemara is, why don't we say Hallel on Purim? There are a number of replies. One of them is that Purim is a form of Hallel. Another rabbi says you don't say Hallel on an Eish Shevachut Loris. Rather, right, dare we say it, one of the most authoritative of all the Amoraim, Rava says, you know why we don't say Hallel on Purim? Because Hallel begins, Hallelu Avdei Hashem. Praise him, O ye servants of Hashem. And at the time of Purim, they were not servants of Hashem exclusively, because Akate Avdei Achashverosh. They were still servants of Achashverosh. And you can only sing Hallel if you are no longer under the dominion of a non-Jewish authority, says Robert. Be'akate avde achashem. Now we understand the Rambam. The truth is we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Nes Shemen. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the military victory. But how are we allowed to thank him through Hallel? The answer is, because a Jewish king was restored in Israel, who ruled for 210 years, and we were no longer Avdei Yavon. We were our own people. And Hallel is only possible when the miracle occurs in autonomous situations. And when the Rambam concludes, Melach min ha-Kohanim, it is to tell you that Hallel is halachically appropriate because we have shaken off all non-Jewish authority and we have returned to Jewish sovereignty. MSDS. We leave it over.